Welcome to Love Black People, the podcast. I'm Maxie Green, and I believe that the most valuable thing we can do to enrich ourselves, our lives, and the world around us is to love. Love freely and love fearlessly. And I'm on a mission to help us let go of our preconceived notions about what love is supposed to look like so that we can connect more deeply with each other. And the revolution starts right now. So here's something I never thought I would say on this podcast. Mr. Max and I are over. It's like a fucking punch in the gut to say that out loud. And it's been 27 days. I am not going to get into the particulars of what happened, but I will say that it was abrupt and unceremonial and really, really painful. The first maybe 4 days or so, I spent playing this game called Hide My Tears, which is when it happened on a Friday. And so for that whole weekend, I just kept coming up with ways to send the children out of the room so that I could cry. And I'll tell you guys, honestly, I have never cried like that in my life. Not when I was, 7 months pregnant and the doctor told me that I might have to let my daughter die inside of me. Not when the person that I thought was the love of my life passed away before we could work things out. Not any of the other millions and billions of times in my life that I've been heartbroken have I ever cried. You ever cry so much that you feel like you genuinely feel like you will not ever be able to stop? I mean, not to belabor the point, but like, I cried, I screamed into pillows, I howled. It was awful. It's still awful. And it actually comes at an interesting and maybe fortuitous time, because this is episode 10 of the podcast, and I have decided that episode 10 will be the last episode of season 1 of Love Black People. And honestly, I don't know if there will be a season 2. Being in the place where I am at emotionally makes it hard for me to sit here and talk to you guys about loving generously and wholeheartedly and without restrictions and without fear. And obviously, you know, I have mined this relationship for content on multiple occasions. And somehow in my mind, the podcast has always been tied to Mr. Max, even though it's not supposed to be about him and it's not supposed to be about me and him. It feels somehow like a good place to stop, or at least a good place to stop and think. Because the interesting thing that happened post this breakup is that it not only broke my heart, it broke my worldview. I was telling somebody yesterday that it was like a bomb. Somebody detonated a bomb inside of me and destroyed, like blew up everything that I knew to be true about myself, about who I am, how I see myself, the work I'm here to do in the world, what I believe, what are my values, what are the practices and rituals that bring me comfort, my routines, my relationship with my body, all of it has been blown up. And I'm really in a place right now where it's not, I was going to say where I have no idea who I am, but it's more of a place like I have never had any idea who I am. And it's time to burn everything to the ground and start over. But I wanted to talk about my process and how I've been coping and how this breakup, like the relationship that preceded it, has expanded me even while being genuinely the most painful thing that I have experienced in my life. So like I said, it blew up, I don't know, my consciousness, my sense of, not even my sense of self, my worldview. That's really the best way that I can put it. And I have been picking apart everything that I have held as true in my life. How do I want to parent? How do I want to coach? How do I want, what do I want to think and feel when I look in the mirror, when I get up in the morning? What do I want my website to look like? What do I want my Instagram bio to be like on a macro and micro level? What is my understanding of God and divine intervention? And to what degree am I capable of surrendering? And all of these things have now been put up for question. And so, like I said, it's been really painful, but it's been really expansive. Because it's been so painful, I have had to really, really drop in to the practices that can lift me out of it. And I've had to seek out new to me, more powerful, more somatic, more physical practices that help me excavate all of the wounds and the pain that have been set off by this breakup. Because obviously, yeah, the breakup was a catalyst, and obviously it's hugely painful and my heart is broken. But not all of the pain is about that. Some of it, probably a lot of it, is more about what beliefs, like what painful beliefs, what shameful beliefs, what inadequacies, what traumas have I experienced in the past? Am I holding on to, are still living inside my body that got set off? It's like, to continue with the bomb analogy, like the breakup was the match that let off a dynamite that unearthed all of this old pain that has become conflated in my mind. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Mr. Max with all my heart, and I don't see that changing, breakup or no breakup. But I mean, I don't know. It's just, I'm just now realizing this as I'm recording this, that like, yeah, not all of this pain that I've been in is about him. And what it has done is open up a door for me where I am forced to excavate it. I am forced to bring it up, like to a lot of the pain that we hold on to from our childhood or our teen years or even the ancestral or generational pain and trauma that is baked into us is deeply interwoven into the fabric of our beings. And it can't be excavated by thought alone. It can't be excavated by journaling alone. It's, I like to think of it as like brick walls that require force, physical force to break apart so that the individual bricks of the pain and the beliefs and the traumas and whatever can be lifted up and carried away. And that has required me to be in my body a lot more. And it just so happens that this breakup occurred while I am studying to become a soul flow facilitator. And soul flow is a somatic practice that helps you get out of your head and drop into your body so that you can heal. And that practice has been really transformational in terms of dredging up the old shit, dredging up the beliefs that I hold onto that I wasn't conscious of as it, you know, as it relates to my relationship with Mr. Max. And so that's sort of step one of my process. And by step one, I don't mean to in any way imply that this is linear or sequential, because it's not, but that's one of the tools that has been helping me. Just in case anybody who's listening to this is also heartbroken, here are some things that I'm doing in this breakup that I've never done in any other breakup that are, it's not making it easier. I don't want to suggest that. It doesn't make it any less painful. It doesn't make me cry any less, but it does make this period of time into something expansive rather than something constricting or devastating. Because there was a period of time, maybe like week two of this breakup, where I could feel myself being pulled down into the darkness. I could feel myself, like, I knew my energy was changing. I knew that, you know, I was getting caught up in a victim story. I was in this headspace of like, you're so stupid to have ever thought that this would work out. Nothing ever works out for you. What the fuck did you think was going to happen? You deserve this because you are a fucking doormat, and you know that this is what happens to doormats. And now you can never try. You'll never find love again. It's over for you. You're so dumb. There were so many red flags. Why didn't you listen? Like, in that spiral. And it was so tempting to just let myself fall down that rabbit hole. And just, I was like, I'll just be a sad, miserable, broken person for the rest of my life. I still get up and put a smile on my face and take care of my kids. And then once they're grown up and out of the house, I can just fully descend into hopelessness. Because that was the thing, it killed hope for me. And I was like, I don't want to work, because being an entrepreneur requires a lot of things. And one of them is a hope, is a positive expectation, or an expectation of a positive result. And I was like, I never want to expect anything good, hope for anything good, believe for anything good ever again. Because I never want to be disappointed. Like, I can't even be mildly disappointed at this point. It will fucking send me over the edge. And so back to the tools. So the first one has been being in my body. There are lots of ways to do it. Soul flow is the method that I'm choosing. If you want to know more about it, you find me everywhere, message me. I will tell you about it. I will point you to resources. So being in my body, healing myself on an energetic level. So I've gone back to my Reiki studies and have gotten my level one attunement, and I'm working towards level two, and I'm taking time out of every day to meditate on Reiki principles and to give myself self-Reiki. And to me, the Reiki is like, it's a weird thing, because it's like you do it and then after it's over, you're like, is this really doing anything? Like, I don't feel any different. But it's like, for me, the Reiki is sort of it's like a lubricant. It's helping the stuff move up and out. It's just making everything move faster. I don't feel like I'm necessarily excavating or uncovering anything with Reiki, but Reiki is helping me get it out faster, if that makes sense. Another part of my process that I think everybody needs to hear is allowing my pain to be witnessed, like asking for help, talking with people, crying in front of people. You know, for the first, I mean, I didn't tell my sister what happened until 3 weeks. I think I just told her last week. I didn't speak to her about it. And for the first, I don't know, maybe week or so, I didn't even speak it out loud. I haven't even told my children yet. But I did speak to some of my soul flow sisters. And these are women that I really don't know very well. And so, you know, sometimes it's easier to talk to people who you don't know very well. And they just held me and lifted me up, allowing people to see you, to witness you, to hear, you know, allowing yourself to be helped and to be held is vital. Like, you can't stuff it down. You can't pretend to be fine all the time. You can't just push through. You have to say, I'm hurting. I need this. It's painful because I feel like this. I need someone to listen. You have to find someone to talk to. And if you can't find someone to talk to, then find me. Find me everywhere. I will hold space for you. I will witness your pain. I will commiserate with you. So that's another one. Another one has been really, really leaning into self-acceptance. And I would have thought before this that I had a pretty healthy sense of self-acceptance. I'm pretty unapologetic about who I am and how I am. And I never really realized how much I judged my feelings until now. The really complicated thing about this situation with Mr. Max is that I understand everything. I understand why he ended things. I understand why he did it the way that he did it. I understand how he feels about it now. I understand him so well, and I feel so much compassion for him and for where he's at and what he's carrying and how he's processing what's happening between us. And it's been very confusing to me. And I often catch myself thinking, like, don't feel sorry for him. Fuck him. He broke your fucking heart. It doesn't matter what the fuck he's going through. He didn't have to do this to you. You didn't deserve it. And really just allowing myself to just accept that, yes, I'm devastated. My heart is broken. I am very angry. I am very angry at him. But I miss him. I'm worried about him. I feel so much compassion for him. I hope he's okay. I want to know that he's okay. I want him to know that if he needs something from me, I will still give it to him. And that's all okay. I'm allowed to feel both. I'm allowed to be brokenhearted and also be worried about the person who broke my heart at the same time. I am allowed to feel like, even though he did this disgusting thing to me, maybe we might be able to work it out. I'm allowed to say that if I had my choice, we would still be together, even though he's done this disgusting thing to me. And to be honest, it's embarrassing in a way. I feel shame when I say that. I feel like people are going to listen and be like, you are fucking stupid. You're a fucking doormat. Like, how could you still want to be with this person who broke your fucking heart and caused you so much pain? And this is where the self-acceptance comes in, because we haven't talked about this. I talked about this in my Unbound course, which you should go sign up for because it's fucking awesome, if I do say so myself. But like, when you desire something, it's ordained for you. And when you deny that you desire it, you're just blocking your blessings. So for me to deny that, yes, I love him, I want to be with him, I want to work past this, if I were to pretend that those things were not true, I would be destroying any possibility of them happening. And I don't know if they will or they won't. And that's it. Because the next part of the process is just surrendering. Because at the beginning, when this first started, I was like, to be honest, I was like, fuck you, God. Fuck you for letting this happen to me. I didn't deserve this. I did not deserve this. I don't need this. I don't have space for this. Because when Mr. Max broke my heart the first time, I told him, you can't do shit like this to me. I'm here by myself raising two kids with autism. My fucking plate is full. I don't have friends to unburden myself to. I don't have people who are going to rush in and pick me up when I'm in pain. You can't do shit like this to me. You have to be more careful. And so I was, really mad at God for letting this happen to me. I was like, if you wanted it to be over, if you want to remove me from the situation, you could have found a million other fucking ways to do it. You didn't have to let me get kicked in the fucking teeth. And I was like, I refuse to believe that this is going to lead to my highest good, which is obviously my worldview, that everything happens to you, good or bad, is really never bad because it's all necessary. It's all leading you to the highest, truest, best possible outcome for yourself. And you have to surrender to that and go through it. I know that. I believe that. But I was like, fuck you. I was like, whatever the fuck blessing lives on the other side of this pain is not going to be fucking worth it. And I will never stand up and say, oh, thank God Mr. Max left me the way that he did. And thank God that my fucking heart was broken and my fucking worldview was destroyed and I had to rebuild my identity piece by piece. Thank God that happened because now look what I have. I was like, fuck you, God, there's nothing that you can give me that will make this worth it. And that's the headspace that I was in. And it's a really difficult headspace to be in because, again, that's my worldview and it was shattered. And so the next piece and the biggest piece has been really surrendering and allowing it to be what it is. It's pain, but it's also lessons. It's also expansion. It's also hopefully a beacon. Hopefully me going through this experience and me talking about it and crying on my fucking podcast like a fucking lunatic will be a beacon, and somebody out there who's in pain and doesn't have tools to cope will hear it and will be helped by it, or will hear it and will reach out to me and allow me to hold space for him or her. I have to just, because it's, you have to surrender to it. You have to, you can't fight it. You can't not feel the pain. Because like I said in my last episode, you have to feel the shitty feelings. You have to feel them so that they can pass. They can move through you. Otherwise they will fuck you up. Not sitting in my uncomfortable feelings is what turned me into a fucking cheater, which by the way, guys, can you guys just all give me a fucking virtual pat on the back that I can no longer say I've cheated in every single relationship I've ever been in, and I didn't cheat in this one. But boy, sometimes I really wish the fuck I had, because at least, I don't know, that would have given me some satisfaction now. Sorry, I don't mean to be petty, but it's true. But that's okay too. It's okay that sometimes I wish, I guess it's not so much that I wish I cheated, but I do wish that, or I don't know, I feel ripped off that I didn't avail myself of some comfort, however fleeting it may have been when he was causing me pain in the past, and that I didn't do that out of loyalty and respect for him, which at the moment is not really being reciprocated. But that's no way to live. And anyways, and there's no point in regret. And I guess that's probably another tool or another thing that's useful to keep in mind, that it's part of acceptance. You know, there's the self-acceptance and the letting yourself feel what you have to feel. And then there is also really just the accepting that this is happening. You know, I still sometimes just like look around and think like, I cannot believe that this fucking happened. And I mean, I was in complete shock. I really thought like, am I crazy? Am I dreaming? Am I misinterpreting something? Am I missing something? You know, and I kept going back. Like I kept poking the bear. I kept interfering with him and like hitting him up to kind of be like, are you sure? Not like asking him, are you sure? But like, I kept showing up as my best self to give him a chance to say, oh, wait, no, I didn't mean it. And that didn't happen because he does not want to be with me. And I had to learn to accept that. And it fucking hurts. But you can't heal if you're denying that it happened. You know, you can't heal if you're trying to bargain your way out of it. And that's another really important part of the healing process, is that it's not a bargaining chip, you know? And I think we've all seen, you know, I was thinking about that movie. I don't know if you guys will have seen this movie, but the movie The Mirror Has Two Faces, which is a great movie, and you guys should watch it if you haven't seen it. And I'm not going to get into the plot because this episode is already so fucking long. But basically what happens in that movie, as happens in so many other Hollywood movies, is that the chick, Barbara Streisand, breaks up with her dude, and then she goes on this like complete transformation, and she loses weight and starts to dress better, and she starts working out and she starts eating better. And then of course he wants her back and they get back together. And it has been like, my mind wants to go there so much that, like, you know, heal from this, become a better person, have better boundaries, have better perspective, and God will give you back to him. And it's not, I mean, he's not a prize. It's not a prize. It's not about earning something. The healing is the prize, right? The transformation in and of itself is the prize. And yeah, maybe, you know, I don't feel like I'm done with him, but I can't make that be the reason that I heal from this. That's fucking batshit. And so that's the last thing that I'm going to say, because again, you know, the healing is the prize. The healing is, I was going to say the healing is what makes the experience worthwhile, but I don't want to phrase it like that. But the healing that has, not has happened, but is happening, the expansion that is happening is, I mean, to be truthfully honest, is a healing and a transformation and an expansion that would not happen had I not been in this situation. And so rather than allowing it to become that experience, not to be trite, but rather than allowing this breakup to be something that broke me, I am turning it into something that cracks me open instead. And that transformation will hopefully be, I'm not going to say it will make it all worth it, because I still don't believe that, but it will be, I don't know, it'll be what stops it from being like the great tragedy of my life. You know, choosing to make a breakup into an expansive experience stops it from becoming like your identity. It stops it from becoming the defining story of your life. And, you know, however I feel about Mr. Max and whatever the future holds, I don't want this period of time to be the defining characteristic of my life. And I don't want that for any of you who might be listening to this either. So I'm not going to recap, because this is not that kind of episode. But I do want to reiterate one thing, and that is that if you are listening to this, if you are heartbroken and you need to talk, you need to be witnessed, please find me. I am on Instagram at loveblackpeople.co, and find me, DM me. I will show up for you. I will hold space for you. I mean that with all my heart. So please don't suffer alone. And please don't, if you don't do anything else that I did, please at least don't conflate your breakup with your self-worth. There's nothing wrong with you. You didn't do anything wrong. You don't have to earn love. You don't deserve to be mistreated. So please just know that. And I may or may not see you guys in, I don't know, a few weeks, a few months, who fucking knows. If you want to stay up to date with what's happening with the podcast, then find me on Instagram, once again, at loveblackpeople.co. Don't forget the .co. And sign up to my newsletter to find out whether or not there will be a season 2. And, you know, not that I'm begging for props, but I will say that if I was getting some feedback from people saying things like, oh, I don't know, oh, Maxie, please, God, don't end the podcast. I love it so much. I need you. You know, if I heard some comments like that, I might be inclined to pick it up with a season two. Who knows? Anyways, that's enough out of me. Thanks for listening.
Thank you guys so much for joining me this week on Love Black People. If you have questions, comments, or critiques, I want to hear about them. You can DM me on Instagram at loveblackpeople.co or head over to our Patreon to leave me a voice note. If you're picking up what I'm putting down and want to hear more of it, you can join the revolution by joining our Patreon community. For as little as $3 a month, you can get access to members-only goodies like episode transcripts, monthly love workshops, and even free or discounted coaching with me. Check it out at patreon.com/loveblackpeople. Be sure to tune in next week for the next episode, and until then, don't forget to love each other enough to tell the truth.